17. The Price of Victory.
The suckers on their many limbs are particularly retentive of cold. Even after breaking the ocean's surface, their suckers remain more frigid than ice. Whatever a noctilius touches will convulse in shock.
From Colvenar Brayum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 55. Flashes of blinding light and deafening eruptions filled the Yelta's den as Amandal propped himself up with his uninjured arm. If only I could capture another, he thought, wincing against the pain. Unfortunately, he would have to be content with one Yeltis instead of two, or five. Oh, well, he muttered, eyeing his kintishals. The gray-skinned creatures had expended their magic and were trying to siphon the barjans and the enhancing magic of the soldiers. Now to regain control. Since his mental bond was severed, Amandel would have to cast another spell to regain control of his conjurations. The spell resembled the enthralling magic used by illusionists. As Amandel uttered the incantation, Sylas pushed through the ranks of mages.
"Amandel,"
she called, Arpran magic flowing from her hands. Sylas was beside him in a heartbeat, the green light of the Arpran magic nearly surrounding her.
"What happened to you?"
she asked.
"He got hit by a flying soldier," Felinia said. "Let me open his barjan."
While Amandel finished his incantation, the violet hue shifted, a result of Felinia reforming the barjan bubble into a shield. He sent the enthralling magic toward two kintishals, each siphoning the fiery barjans from a soldier. The man spun on the conjurations, swinging his flaming sword in an effort to ward them away. One of the kintishals swatted its tongue at the sword, completely stripping the weapon of its magical fire. The kintishal glowed a reddish orange as Amandel regained control over it.
"Stop!"
Amandel commanded, and both gray-skinned creatures stilled.
"Attack the Yeltis," he commanded.
Both of the kintishals turned from the soldier. The man shook his head quizzically, but he too turned and rejoined the battle. Amandel winced as the conjurations bolted toward the nearest Yeltis, their three-pronged hands outstretched.
"Unleash your magic,"
he commanded, and he felt the slits on each of the kintishals' hands violently open, blasting the fiery magic they had stolen. Amandel began another incantation as the repurposed flame struck the Yeltis, igniting its fur. The Yeltis howled and reeled backward, settling its gaze upon the advancing kintishals. A sudden surge of relief coursed through Amandel's injured side and arm, evoking a gasp that interrupted his incantation. The pain faded and the broken bone in his arm realigned. That in and of itself was painful, but the pain was fleeting. Best not to resume until she's finished, he thought, breathing deeply. But perhaps I can now try capturing another...
There,
Sylas said.
That was worse than when you were a kid.
Amandel gave her a sidelong glance, and Sylas blushed. This was no time to be reminiscing on their childhood. He thanked her and turned back to the battle. As Amandel uttered another incantation, a surge of piercing pain permeated his mind. Something had rammed one of his kintishals through the stomach. The pain was accompanied by a vile bitterness Amandel could taste in his mouth. Amandel fought the urge to vomit while searching for his conjuration. The kintishal, impaled on the Yeltis's tusk, involuntarily expelled the rest of the fire within it. The flaming particles seeped from the slits in its hands, chest, and thighs. Violet blood dripped along the impaling tusk, causing the amber-encrusted substance to bubble.
"Are you all right?"
Sylas blurted, coming to Amandal's side. She frantically swept her gloved hands across him.
"I'm fine,"
Amandel spat and resumed his incantation. The acrid taste was still in his mouth. Disgusting. Now partially on fire, the Yeltis pulled the wounded kintishal from its tusk, tossing the dying conjuration to the icy floor. Enraged, the Yeltis swatted at the other kintishal, knocking the unmarred conjuration into a soldier, but not before the kintishal unleashed the rest of its magic. Fiery beams left the slit in the conjuration's palm, and a volley of deadly magic struck the Eltis. A blinding flash filled the cavern, accompanied by a scream of agony. As the light faded, the beast who had impaled the conjuration dropped to its knees. The Eltis was drenched in acid and had several holes blown through its body. Other screams, human screams, echoed throughout the cavern. Amandal turned as three soldiers, each lacking barjans, were hurled from the battle. They collided with the icy wall and fell limp on the cavern floor. This battle has to end, Amandal thought, and searched for his other kintashals. Each was by another Yeltis, siphoning more magic and glowing a pinkish gray. The Yeltis they were near held a soldier by his feet and repeatedly pounded the man's barjan. The soldier swung his acid-imbued blade to intercept the blows, but the Yeltis was unfazed by the acid. While Amandal's enthralling magic took hold, the Yeltis shattered the barjan of the dangling soldier and the man screamed with horror. Amandal aimed the conjuration's hands at the Yeltis's recoiling arm. Both kintashals unleashed blasts of raw arcane magic while the Yeltis hurled its fist at the defenseless man. The repurposed magic struck the Yeltis's arm just as the beast's fist collided with the soldier, abruptly silencing his screams. An explosion of pink light filled the cavern, accompanied by a bestial cry. Amid the flash, Amandal sent his conjurations dashing. Both kintashals raised their hands, discharging their siphoned magic in a deadly blast that struck the Yeltis's head. Kalamir threw himself sideways, evading the claws of a smaller Yeltis and narrowly avoiding collision with Vorsim, a mercenary from Squad 11. Only one of the smaller creatures remained. The other two had been slain by the mages, one corroding from an acidic javelin to the heart and another blown to bits by arcane bolts. The Yeltis roared as it swung again, but Kalamir lunged forward, keeping his shield raised above his head. The Yeltis's claws struck the shield's acidic barrier and it screamed in pain.
"Foul beasts!"
Kalamir shouted and lunged, stabbing the Yeltis in the thigh. The Yeltis wailed and dropped to one knee. Seizing the moment, Kalamir lunged again, thrusting the sword through the Yeltis's chest. Still wailing, the creature grabbed the sword but screamed upon touching the flaming blade. The beast jolted backward, tearing Kalamir from his weapon. The Yeltis staggered, then fell backward, collapsing with a pained groan. The other soldiers and mercenaries who had fought the beast ran to it, stabbing the Yeltis repeatedly. The beast fell limp, but the soldiers continued stabbing it for good measure. One could not be too careful when dealing with treacherous monsters. Kalamir took one sweeping glance through the cavern. Only two of the wretched creatures were still alive. The Yeltis nearest them was missing an arm and struggled to repel the soldiers fighting it. "That one falls next," Kalamir spun back to his most recent foe.
"Commander!"
shouted a soldier near the dead Yeltis. The man pried the flaming sword from the monster's chest and held the blade toward Kalamir. With thanks, Kalamir reclaimed his weapon, then turned and pointed it at the maimed monster.
"Charge!"
Bayim pursed her lips while watching the waning battle with the Yeltis. She stood at the bend in the dim tunnel, a safe distance away. Keidel stood beside her, arms folded. There was no point in getting involved, especially with such ferocious beasts. Bayim was too important for such risks. A violet eruption veiled the cavern and she turned away, shielding her eyes with the backside of her gloved hand. "Impressive creatures," Keidel said. Bayim nodded, pursing her lips. Her eyes lingered on Amandal, now made whole from his encounter with the flying soldier.
"He's lucky," she mused.
If the soldier had been protected by a barjan imbued with destructive magic, Amandal might not have survived, and that would be a pity in many ways.
"I will have you," Bayim thought with a grin,
watching as gray light shot from Amandal. The enthralling magic wrapped around his towering conjuration now attacking the soldiers. Though it had not killed anyone, Kalamir would undoubtedly chide Amandal for losing control.
"A shame he only captured one," Keidel said. "I assume Mr. Aramian views his conjurations as he does his women."
Bayim raised an eyebrow at Keidel, but turned back to the battle. The surviving Yeltis, now missing both its arms, howled as more soldiers converged on it. The beast struggled to kick the soldiers and mercenaries away, but its efforts were futile. Dardell and several other soldiers climbed a nearby ledge and launched themselves onto the creature's back. They repeatedly stabbed the Yeltis, and it staggered.
"Perhaps I was wrong," Keitel said, sounding amused.
Vayam turned, following the lieutenant's gesture to the gathering of mages. That irksome coquette, Felinia, was shouting commands. Several mages were mustering enthralling magic while Amandal glowed a golden hue.
"So, you're helping him get another of those creatures?" Vayam thought.
She swallowed a twinge of jealousy and returned her focus to Amandal.
"He'll have two after all," Keitel said, grinning.
Vayam gazed farther into the cavern, toward the last Yeltis. The beast was fending off several soldiers and mercenaries. Its right tusk was broken, missing its tip.
"It seems Mr. Aramian chose wisely," Keitel said with a snicker.
"What do you mean by that?"
Vayam demanded. Keitel shook her head and opened her mouth to speak, but before she could reply, belabored footfalls echoed from the dim tunnel. Keitel spun, drawing her sword.
"Now what?"
Vayam murmured. The footsteps grew louder. Scowling, she backed out of the tunnel. With the battle ending, it might be safer in the den than in the tunnel, if whatever owned those footfalls was hostile. Soon, faint conversation carried around the bend, hushed speculation of a creature within a pit. Vayam relaxed, the survivors of the other squads. Keitel, however, proceeded cautiously into the tunnel, her weapon still drawn.
"Who's there?"
"Cardassian,"
a tired voice replied. Vayam didn't recall the man. She found it unnecessary to familiarize herself with every member of the expedition. Keitel continued into the tunnel and disappeared around the bend. A pained cry filled the cavern, and Vayam spun back to the battle. The armless Yeltis staggered, stumbled, and then fell forward, crushing several soldiers. Lucky for them, they were still protected by their barjans. Kalamir shouted several orders, and the mass of soldiers and mercenaries turned on the remaining Yeltis. But the beast was stilled, and golden light was gathering behind it. That irksome coquette shouted for the soldiers to cease their advance.
"Well, I suppose another of the creatures might be helpful," Vayam thought.
The golden light erupted, forming an oval portal to the Vizirm expanse. As the beast lumbered toward the portal, the soldiers who had attacked it backed away. It soon disappeared into the portal, and cheers filled the Yeltis den. But soon those joyous outbursts were silenced by orders from Kalamir, Dardell, and several other squad leaders. Now that the den was cleared, Vayam stepped toward the mages and those guarding them. The guarding force consisted of Captain Idara, his sailors, and a few mercenaries.
"Too cowardly to fight?"
She eyed the scruffy-looking captain. Idara's scraggly beard looked even more unkempt than it had when they first set foot on this frigid wasteland. Kalamir and the others shouted more orders, calling for the expedition's arpranists to tend to the severely wounded. From what Vayam had seen, 15 soldiers and mercenaries had been killed by the Yeltis. Over 24 others had been wounded in some way, including the 3 convulsing men who had been impaled.
"Poor fools," Vayam thought.
An arpranist stood beside each of the convulsing men, mustering their magics. Unfortunately, their efforts would be futile. Vayam knew that an arpranist or two could certainly keep someone alive while the venom ran its course, but little was left of the mind after such an ordeal. If someone survived such poisoning, they were little more than mindless shells.
"And where have you been?" Felinia demanded.
Vayam raised an eyebrow and turned. Felinia stood beside Amandal, her eyes fixed on Vayam in a stern, cold gaze. The footsteps from the tunnel grew louder and were accompanied by the clanking noises of armor and hoisted weapons.
"I don't like your tone,"
Vayam said, narrowing her eyes. Felinia opened her mouth to speak, but quickly averted her gaze to the dim tunnel.
Vaem!
Keitel called. Before turning around, Vaem glanced to Amandal, eyeing him up and down.
You won't relent as long as that irksome coquette is around. Perhaps I can separate you from her while in Tardalim. The thought made her smile.
Keitel shouted for her again, and Vaem reluctantly turned from Amandal. Seven soldiers marched behind the lieutenant.
What happened to the mages?
You won't like this, Keitel said to her with a sigh. We won't be going that way.
Why?
Vaem asked.
There's a beast guarding that pit, a soldier said, his voice shaky. We barely escaped with our lives.
Vaem narrowed her eyes as the soldiers spewed frantic reports about the incident, about how they had fled from the vines Ildan had mentioned. They were crystal, but not crystal.
A creature with pliable crystal tentacles?
She had never heard of such a thing. Was it even physically possible?
They're behind us, a soldier said. Dougal and Morjadine are making walls so those things don't come after us.
So two others survived, Vaem mused. That was still less than half that had ventured to the pit. And from the survivor's tale, they hadn't even descended into the cavern.
Yes, best we not go that way.
Amandal uttered an incantation to open a portal to the Aldenal plain. His conjurations had sustained too much damage to be of any use. Bits and pieces of the earthen giant had been broken off, and several of the smaller elementals had been torn into pieces. He could still use three of the Kintashals, though. Felinia and Fendar had helped him round up the conjurations, enthralling those Amandal hadn't regained control over. Together, they managed to subdue them. As the portal to the Aldenal plain formed, concerned chatter filled the icy cavern as well as incantations from the Alpranists. Calamir was making his rounds, checking on each member of the expedition.
Let the big guy go first, Amandal said.
Are you dismissing all your conjurations?
Vaem asked, her tone haughty. Amandal ignored the woman and focused on marching his conjurations toward the portal.
Best keep one of the Kintashals nearby, he thought, and sent the command to the conjuration. Well, they were damaged, Felinia said tersely.
One by one the conjurations entered the portal. The last earthen elemental was dragged by one of the Kintashals, and together they vanished. No sooner had the conjurations departed than Calamir came stomping up, looking furious. He stopped an arm's length in front of Amandal, his bulbous nose scrunched and his nostrils flared.
Mr. Aramion, he said through clenched teeth, I told you—
Just wait a moment, Amandal interrupted, extending a hand. Before you start reciting the consequences of my actions, just know I don't care about the coin from this expedition. It means absolutely nothing to me. Calamir narrowed his brown eyes and planted his gauntleted fists on his hips.
I despise your kind, he grumbled. You think because of your privilege you can do whatever you want. You endangered the rest of us with that ridiculous stunt of yours.
Amandal rolled his eyes as Calamir continued his tirade. The old soldier had the audacity to claim the Yeltis' awakening was Amandal's fault, when in reality the beasts had already awoken.
In fact, if it weren't for me, the battle would have probably taken place in the tunnel.
And from now on you're to take up the rear, where you can't cause any more harm.
Calamir finished with a sigh and shook his head.
Commander, Felinia spoke up, if I may—
No, you may not, Miss Tussara, Calamir spat.
Vaem cleared her throat.
That decision is unwise, Calamir, especially with what lies ahead of us.
Calamir frowned, then glanced to the tunnel where the men from squads 3 and 4 were gathered.
Why are there only 7 of you?
Calamir barked.
We're all that made it, sir, a soldier said. That creature snatched half of squad 3 before we were halfway down the pit.
Calamir growled.
Traversing the pit is unwise, Vaim repeated.
Well, is there another way? Kalamir snapped.
The commander and Vaim debated the matter while Amandal turned away. He studied Felinia, who simply stood with her arms folded.
He's wrong, she whispered. Though I thought you were being foolish, charging into the cave was probably for the best. Thank you.
Of course, Amandal said, smiling graciously.
It's what I do.
Felinia grinned, and she let her gaze linger on Amandal. While the debate between Kalamir and Vaim intensified, Ildin shouted from the dim tunnel.
There's another way!
Ildin cried. The illusionist stumbled into the cavern, pushing aside his blonde hair.
Look!
He pointed across the Yeltisden to the nearest tunnel to the right. The argument between Kalamir and Vaim immediately ceased. One of Ildin's illusions shot from the tunnel, then slowed to hover above the dead Yeltis. Kalamir cocked his head, then turned to Ildin.
Was that the illusion you sent into the pit, Mr. Saterin?
Yes, Ildin replied. This cavern and the one beneath the pit are connected, although the path between them is quite the maze. I think it'll be better to go that way. The tunnel leading from the pit to the gatehouse is close to the one that empties into the pit.
Kalamir set his jaw.
So, make a mad dash to the other tunnel?
Vaim asked with a snicker. Ildin shrugged.
I don't know. Maybe we could use conjurations or those reanimated corpses as fodder.
That could work, Keitel interjected, and create a tunnel of barjan to protect us as we cross the pit.
Sounds risky, Amandal thought.
That's something we'll have to discuss, Kalamir said, turning away.
He stalked off, shouting orders for the soldiers to fetch the expedition's supplies.
What an idiot,
Captain Idara said, stepping around a group of mages. There was still some bitterness in the sea captain's attitude and demeanor. Who could blame the man, what with all he had endured thus far?
The fool is going to get us all killed.
At least someone feels as I do.
Where's Mortjadayan?
Ildin asked.
And Dougal!
He looked back to the soldiers who had survived the pit, but they shrugged.
Maybe they're resting, a soldier said. Probably waiting by everyone's packs, said another. Y'all just left them there in the tunnel.
Ildin bit his lip, then glanced to the cavern's ceiling. Amandal followed his gaze. Ildin's illusion hovered in the air, then sped toward the dim tunnel they had traversed.
I'm sure Morgi is fine, Amandal said, surveying the Yeltis den.
The wounded had been gathered, and those that could be treated without magic were being tended to by unmarred soldiers. Amandal had expected to see the Arpranists tending to those men, but the Arpranists were still healing those who had been impaled by the Yeltis. Each convulsing man had 3 Arpranists infusing them with rejuvenating magic, but the combined magic seemed to do nothing. Was Yeltis poison that deadly?
Horrible way to die, Vaim said. They really should just let them go.
How heartless, Felinia retorted.
No, it's practical. Those men will be dead within a quarter of an hour. All those Arpranists are doing is prolonging their suffering.
Oh no, Ildin exclaimed. Amandal, come on! Mortjadayan and Dougal are being attacked by those wolves!
The illusionist bolted toward the dim tunnel, as did Felinia.
The Cistern? Amandal thought, intrigued.
The more creatures to add to his menagerie, the better. Grinning, he hurried after his friends. Captain Idara watched as the Arpranists struggled to mend the wounded soldiers.
It's that venom, he thought.
An Arpranist could heal wounds, but if the source of the wound was still present, their magic could only do so much. Idara had once seen a man impaled by a broken yardarm during a treacherous storm. Luckily, an Arpranist was aboard. The mage kept the man alive until the other sailors could remove the yardarm. But there were still parts of the man that couldn't be mended because some of the splinters remained.
What interesting venom, Idara thought.
He sauntered from the tunnel, nearing the wounded soldiers.
Weldar!
Hevesir shouted, holding one of the convulsing men.
Weldar, can you hear me?
The man, Weldar, didn't respond. His eyes were rolled back and his tongue flailed.
I'm doing all I can, said one of the Arpranists, but no matter how much Arpran magic I fill them with, it doesn't seem enough. This venom is too powerful.
They should just let them die, Vaim said to Keidel, and both Mandalorian women joined the others at the cavern's heart.
Heartless whore, Adara thought, fighting back a glare. He turned and continued through the icy cavern. The woman kept talking to her bodyguard, speaking of the effects of the Yeltis' venom.
So, the venom is incurable, Adara mused.
The whore explained what occurred if one happened to survive an encounter with Yeltis venom. They would become a total invalid.
Perhaps I need not look any further, he thought, grinning with anticipation.
Besides, there might not be any inconspicuous Tevis Rawls in the reliquary. Determined, he sauntered throughout the cavern, eyeing each of the slain Yeltis. The larger beasts had an amber substance encrusted on their tusks, while the smaller ones didn't.
That crusty stuff must be the venom.
Adara studied one of the corpses, whose head was turned so the tusks were hidden from the majority of the expedition. Shaving off those tusks would draw too much attention. Setting his jaw, he glanced back toward the tunnel to the first Yeltis that had been slain. The creature's head was missing. Could the mages have blown apart the tusks?
Shards of them would do nicely.
Adara immediately studied his surroundings. None of the soldiers were paying attention to him. Those that had not fetched the expedition's supplies were helping with the wounded, and Kalamir, well, the old fool was conversing with his squad leaders. The mages near the tunnel had spread out, mingling with the others in the cave.
Good.
He grinned again and crossed the icy cavern. As he reached the headless beast, Cluvis joined him.
What's going on, Captain?
The first mate whispered. When Adara didn't reply, Cluvis appeared to take his captain's silence as an important answer. Adara rounded the corpse, searching the ground. Nothing. This particular Yeltis was already dead when he had entered the cavern, but he did recall flashes of pink light in the tunnels, arcane magic. That kind of magic tended to make things explode.
Hopefully the tusks weren't disintegrated, Adara thought.
He did recall those mages' parasites unleashing an arcane blast. If he couldn't find...
Aha, he whispered.
No more than 5 paces away lay a finger-length sliver of crystal partly covered in that amber substance. Ever cautious, Adara sauntered toward the shard and nonchalantly knelt as if inspecting his boot. The amber substance was layered quite thick on the shard, about the thickness of a small book.
Best I don't touch it, Adara thought, and reached into his coat.
He tugged at a pocket, gauging the strength of the seam, holding it together.
Not strong at all.
He glanced up, noting those around him. All were preoccupied with other matters. Pleased, Adara tore the pocket from the inside of his coat. He lowered his head, swiftly inverted the pocket, and claimed the shard.
You will be the instrument of my revenge, Adara mused, tucking the torn fabric back beneath his coat.